Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marcia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, more than 2 years into the Syrian crisis. Now, the situation just continues to get more complex with more players playing more roles. Now we have the Kurdish entrance into the game, which is starting to play a more critical role. Kurdish fighters have been fighting al-Nusra, and they have also fought the Syrian military earlier. We will be looking at the growing Kurdish role in the struggle in Syria as they seek to have an autonomous region of Syria for themselves. Who is really behind this newest scenario?
Turkish-Syrian border. The sound of gunfire is heard from the town of Tel Abyad, the Syrian side, where new clashes have erupted between Kurdish militants and Takfiri insurgents. The fighting has reportedly spread to insurgent-held areas of northern Syria. Reports say the two sides have agreed to call a ceasefire, under which they would exchange prisoners. The Kurds have freed a commander of the militants. The Kurdish militants are affiliated to the Democratic Union Party that's linked to Kurdistan's Workers' Party in Turkey. The Syrian Kurds are said to be drawing up their own constitution and modeling themselves on the autonomous Kurdistan region of Iraq. What the Syrian Kurds have been doing has worried Syria's northern neighbor, Turkey. Ironically, Ankara has allied itself with Iraq's Kurdistan region at the expense of the government of Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. The Kurdish militants have also fought the forces of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad in the northern city of Aleppo. Meanwhile, they have been accused by the Takfiri insurgents of working with Assad to keep the militants outside their own areas in return for the continued operations of state organizations in those regions. The Kurds' ambition to establish an autonomous region is viewed by many as a threat to Syria's territorial integrity, as it encourages other minorities to follow suit. It could also threaten Syria's neighbors. What is clear is that the division of regional countries into smaller territories based on ethno-sectarian grounds will benefit Israel in the first place, which is the worst scenario for Syria.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Jim W. Dean, managing editor and columnist of Veterans Today. And out of London, Salafist cleric, Mr. Anjem Chowdhury. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start it off in the United States, in Atlanta, with that. Mr. Dean, why do you think that we're starting to see a growing role in the Syrian conflict by the Kurds at this time?
Well, I'm not surprised because you've had a lot of major developments with some of these ongoing battles with the Kurds, particularly with their Iraq basically coming to an arrangement with them to try to end the long-standing, never-ending fights going on there. And then, of course, with al-Nusra basically trying to carve off a northern part of Syria so they can establish a quasi-Islamic state there. That's going to run head-to-head against the Kurds, because these Islamist radical crazies, they don't respect or honor anybody's rights, interest, or whatever. Once they get control, it's going to be a rule by the knife and getting your head chopped off if they have any problems with you.
Okay, well, Mr. Chowdhury, let me get your perspective right now. Why do you think we're seeing a growing role by the Kurds now?
Well, it's no surprise, really, that the followers of Abdullah Öcalan, which is what they are looking for a nationalistic state in this region, which they want to call Kurdistan. And they've been oppressed for a long time. They were oppressed under Saddam Hussein. And, of course, they're oppressed now in Turkey as well. So they're looking for some kind of justice. But the point is, Muslims are concerned, the followers of Abdullah Öcalan are communist for us. And therefore, we don't consider this a fight between Muslims.
Okay, we've
to establish the Sharia. If this is correct, you know, if they're fighting Jabhat al-Nusra, there is no surprise, because they don't want the Sharia there in the first place. They want a nationalistic state.
All right, well, Mr. Dean, do you believe that the Kurdish group is actually being encouraged from the outside to do what they are doing?
I wouldn't say so, because they haven't really been encouraged by anybody for a long time. They are a very nationalistic people. One of the last really long-standing victims of the British Empire when they set up these states, they made sure that different ethnic groups were thrown in together, so there would always be tensions there, because they tend to rule their colonies even after they pulled out by the divide and conquer method, so they could always pit groups against each other, and it would be easier to manipulate them. And the West is still trying to do that now, and we're very concerned, and we think a lot of it is being manipulated for benefits of the West, so they can justify military presence and consider threats there where they're actually manipulating and creating themselves.
What about that, Mr. Chowdhury? What kind of impact do you think that the Kurdish group could actually play in the Syrian crisis?
Well, you know, I think that everybody agrees that there are many factions already in Syria. I mean, a recent report from America said there were over 1,000 different groups. So there's bound to be fighting internally between people vying for some kind of leadership or some kind of role, you know, in the outcome. Everybody knows that Bashar al-Assad is going to be removed. You know, he can't survive after having killed over 100,000 people, you know, in Syria. Therefore, the question is, what is the end game? Who will prevail? And obviously, what we are saying is that Jabhat al-Nusra, and what we can see is that the Mujahideen are gaining a lot of ground. And therefore, it would not be surprising that the Americans or the other players, they want democracy in the area, or they want people to go away from the Sharia. And therefore, they will instigate some kind of support for the players who are against Jabhat al-Nusra. Even if you look at the alliance which is being formed by America and their own allies, it includes every single player apart from Jabhat al-Nusra, because they're the only ones really calling for the pure Islam and the Sharia. So what we say, really, there are two camps here, as we've always said. On the one hand, those people who don't want the Sharia, who don't want jihad, who don't want the Khilafah, and the people of Abdullah Öcalan, and even the Americans, and even, you know, the Free Syrian Army to a certain extent fall into this camp. On the other hand, you have those people who say enough is enough. We tried communism, we tried oppression, we tried Saddam Hussein. Now is the time to try the Sharia. Islam is the solution for Syria. And we know this from the Divine Text as well.
Well, Mr. Chowdhury, let me just jump in here, because you mentioned a few points a little bit off the topic, but you've mentioned a few points about Sharia. And we know, as far as dealing with al-Nusra Front and the heinous crimes, I mean, just terrible crimes that have been committed in Syria, I'm not sure we want to attribute that to Islamic law.
Well, I don't think that Jabhat al-Nusra are the people behind those things. I mean, you know, there's a lot of crimes which have been documented, committed by the Nusayri regime, by Hezbollah, and even by the Iranian regime. The trinity of evil is there. The people who are coming from around the world, who are fighting for the Sharia, they're not going to commit atrocities. You don't go all the way from Britain and France to lay down your life and then start killing innocent women and children. This is something which the enemy will do, and they will blame the Muslims, and they will blame the Mujahideen. And we said the same scenario, you know, in Afghanistan with Blackwater. We see it with the ISI. You know, this is happening all over the world. The
okay, what about that, Mr. Dean? Mr. Dean in Atlanta. As far as what our guest in London is saying and the crimes that we have seen, he said obviously groups don't come from the other side of the world to go and commit crimes. But how do you see that, especially if they're getting paid?
Well, of course they do. I mean, it's a ridiculous statement. The complete reversal Assad has had with support inside Syria is that all these outside groups have recruited thieves and murderers and drug smugglers from all over the planet, including your typical young teenagers looking for something to do. And the brutality of these Muslim terrorists who are amongst, there's nobody that can hold a candle to them in terms of cruelty, because there's nothing more cruel than a religious terrorist who feels he's doing God's will. And what's happened now is the al-Nusra people have everybody in Syria so scared about what's going to happen to them if they win. Even opponents of Assad are backing him now, because the big enemy is the Sharia crazies. And Assad will win in 2014 when they have another election. He's going to win by a landslide. So really what we're seeing is Islam. Islam has been carjacked by the radicals, and they have a lot of operatives in the media, even some of the Western intelligence agencies who are trying to stir things up are seeing to it that a lot of them get a lot of media publicity, which we're very suspicious about.
Okay, what about that? Mr. Chaudhry, I want to look at now with the situation with the Kurds. How likely is this a scenario that is being implemented in order to divide Syria? We saw a similar situation taking place in Iraq. Your take on that, sir?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a very hard task for the Mujahideen and, in fact, anyone who's trying to gain some kind of interest and role in Syria at the current time. And there are so many players. You know, we've already talked about the Free Syrian Army. We talked about Hezbollah, the Assad regime, and obviously Jabhat al-Nusra. And therefore, you know, it's going to be a long, drawn-out battle. And we know this from the Ahadith, from the narrations of the Prophet, that there will be a huge massacre in the area. But if I can just come back slightly to what the gentleman said, you know, if we look in our own history, for over 1,300 years, the Sharia was implemented across the whole of this region. And the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims lived side by side. And part of the Crusader mentality is, in fact, to undermine the Sharia and undermine Islam and to say that you cannot have the Sharia and look how barbaric it is. But, you know, you cannot point to one regime across the whole of the Muslim world at the current time who is implementing Islam and the Sharia. For your information, the Iranian and the Saudi regime are some of the worst culprits. They're not implementing the Sharia. They implement parts of the penal code and parts of the social system, and they don't provide the basic needs for the people, the social and economic, you know, rights. And therefore, you have chaos. What you have is people who believe in democracy, you know, implement parts of the Sharia, and they don't live by, you know, the Islamic law. What we need is we are Muslims. This is the month of Ramadan. We believe in Islam. We should implement it, and we should unite the people together. Our land, our war, our honor is one as Muslims, and therefore, we said to the Kurds, you can live with us peacefully, your rights will be protected, you will have food, clothing, and shelter. There's no need to fight against people who want the best for you and the best for all of the people, for the Muslims and the
Muslims. Mr. Chaudhry, this is not a discussion about Islam and what Islam is, because there would definitely be a lot of people to say that what is happening right now, as far as those who are fighting the Syrian government, many would say is not Islamic. But we're going to turn right now and actually look at some of our Facebook comments. Let's take a look.
Encouraging the Kurds to demand a self-rule region in Syria is one of the planned steps by the West to target the country's integrity. This is the scenario for Syria. Divide the country into Kurdish, Sunni, Alawite, and Druze states for the benefit of Israel. What's really worrying is that those who were oppressed one day now turn out to be oppressors when they come to power. I think the Kurds in Syria are doing multiple jobs, fighting the insurgents to please the US and the Syrian government, cooperating with Iraq's Kurds to give them access to the Mediterranean Sea, and annoying Turkey to get more benefits from the PKK rebels. It is the same game Iraq's Kurds have played.
Well, what about that? Let me turn to Mr. Dean. In general, when we're looking at this situation, who actually benefits from this type of division? Would it not be, for example, like the Israelis, if the Kurds really were able to actually get that separate region, trying to basically separate Syria? Who benefits from this?
Well, the Israelis have been a player in this. They were planning to use Kurdish air bases for their attack on Iran. Israeli commandos have been training some of the Kurdish paramilitary people. They've been training them in security. So Israel's had a very big footprint there, because Israelis are very, very good at exploiting divisions amongst people. So that's a concern. But I think that the first thing we have to try to get by on this thing is whether the Kurdish are going to have what's called an autonomous region, which would kind of like be like a state within the country, where they have like a state government and they have control over their local affairs, like in a way states do in the U.S.
Like but Iraq
I
now.
I don't
like
think
Iraq,
they're going to get a situation
about?
Where they're, yeah, like it. Correct. But I'm not really seeing a situation where they're going to get an independent country. I think Kurds would be very, very happy to manage all their local affairs and get Syrian troops or Turkish troops. They don't have Turkish policemen and Turkish crooked judges to have to deal with in dealing with their local affairs. This is what all local people want. They want to get the federal people, and particularly the crooks and the corruption, out of their country, out of their region.
Well, how does it affect, though, the Syrian situation in general as far as a country, a separate entity? I'll pose that to London.
Yes, I think that, in fact, you know, the Israeli regime has been able to survive for the last 60-odd years because they've been surrounded basically by people who are friendly. The Egyptian regime and even under Morsi do not have an agenda to, free this land of Palestine. Neither does Bashar al-Assad. There's been no bullet fired between Hezbollah, indeed, and the Israelis for over 6 years. So I think the Israelis will be very happy, in fact, to keep Bashar al-Assad and to keep the interests, really, you know, of the Syrian regime and the Israeli regime protected. The biggest threat, in fact, to the state of Israel is for the Sharia and Islamic State, because we will never tolerate this land to be occupied. And once we gain power, which we will in the region, I believe the jihad will then turn towards Israel. So they are very keen, I think, to maintain the status quo, have Hezbollah in Lebanon, have Bashar al-Assad, their friend in Syria. I don't think that they are very, very threatened at all, as long as they see that their interests are being protected because Bashar al-Assad is in place, or Ahmadinejad, or even Hezbollah. I think it's a big lie to say that these people are fighting against Israel. The people who are really fighting are those people who want an Islamic State, who believe in the jihad, free from any nationalism, and who really have been saying for the last, you know, 60 or 70 years that the Israeli regime have no right to exist.
Of course, Mr. Chowdhury, you're saying that. Let me just jump in here, because you're saying that, but it is interesting, of course, as we know, that Al-Qaeda has never attacked any Israeli interest. But now going back to Atlanta, Mr. Dean, do you consider the growing activity by the Kurds? I'll come back to you. I will come back to you, London. Back to Atlanta. Do you consider the growing activity?
She's trying to talk to me now.
Go ahead. Do you consider the growing activity in the situation in Syria by the Kurds? Is it dangerous? Do you see it as being a dangerous movement that is taking place or not?
I don't really think it is. I think the Kurds, obviously, some resolution is going to have to be made. I think they deserve, like any people, to have autonomous control over what they're doing. But just taking a look at the jihadi, the al-Qaeda, al-Nusra people that's supposed to bring this nirvana of Sharia law, they're completely exposed now as having carjacked Islam. These are nothing but cruel, vicious people who are using religion like it's always been, whether it's crusaders or Islamists, basically to control and have a vicious regime. And the Kurds know this now, and the Kurds are going to fight. They're not going to put up with that. If they've been fighting the Turks and the Syrians and the Iraqis for decades and decades and decades, they're sure going to fight a bunch of religious Islamic extremists.
What about that, Mr. Chowdhury, going back to you, with the situation in Kurds, because we know that they have been fighting al-Nusra, but supposedly what we're hearing is that there has been a ceasefire and some agreement between the two groups today. Your take, sir.
Well, you know, I need to verify the news about what exactly is happening on a minute-by-minute basis, obviously, with the people who are fighting on the side of the Kurdish nationalists and as well, you know, Jabhat al-Nusra. But if I can just make a point for your friend and yourself, you know, Al-Qaeda and the Mujahideen have been fighting the bosses of Israel, which is basically the people who are supporting them and who have established Israel and maintain them, which is the American regime all over the world. You know, and it's completely, you know, ironic that your friend in Washington is talking about, you know, hegemony and murder, and yet the biggest criminals and the biggest murderers in the world are the American regime. They slaughtered, you know, over 100,000 people in the first week in the war in Iraq, you know, through the carpet bombing in Afghanistan. They bombed large areas. You know, they've killed over 4,000 people by their own admission via drones, innocent men, women, and children, you know, and they continue to slaughter on a large scale. The only people who have used weapons of mass destruction, like, you know, nuclear bombs, are the American regime, you know, against the Japanese. So they can't talk about people who are, you know, bloodthirsty and have blood on their hands. They're the biggest criminals in the world today. And their own puppet is the Israeli regime. So if you hit the master, you will affect as well the puppet. So, you know, people are fighting against Israel. They're fighting against their own interests. And the people who are looking after their interests, which is the American regime and their own allies.
Well, Mr. Dean, how do you see the situation playing it out right now with the situation happening right now with the Kurds? We've seen, basically, it seems playing both sides of the spectrum. We earlier saw the Kurds actually fighting the Syrian government forces. Now we have seen them fighting al-Nusra forces. And now there seems to be a ceasefire between al-Nusra and the Kurds. What do you think that the bottom line is, basically? Are they supporting or are they opposed to either side, or basically is it just a separate agenda?
I think it's a separate agenda, and I think one of the most fruitless questions to ask today for really anybody is how do you think this thing is going to play out? Because I don't think anybody knows. It's absolutely utter total chaos. You have all the old animosities now superimposed by a whole bunch of new ones that are being created. Including those that said they were carrying the banner for pure Islam. They basically have shown their true hand in Syria, that on their worst day and their best day, they're as bad as anything that Western imperialists have ever done. So it's just a tremendous, horrible situation that nice, regular, moderate people over there that just want to live their lives and raise their families are being cruelly victimized, including those in Mr. Shadari seems to leave out that the he gives a free hand to all the radicals and Taliban or whatever. They've been blowing up and slaughtering and innocent civilians without any bad publicity from people like Mr. Shadari. So that doesn't wash very well from my end, that's for sure.
Okay. And with that, I'm afraid we are out of time. I'd like to thank both our guests, Mr. Jim W. Dean, managing editor and columnist on Veterans Today in Atlanta, Georgia, and Mr. Anjem Chaudhary, Salafist cleric out of London. And thank you, viewers, for being with us for another debate. Make sure you join us same time, same place tomorrow. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out in Tehran. Goodbye.